Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm honored to welcome you to our Sword and Sandal Cinema Special. For our first segment, I will be sharing my impressions of Gods of Brutality, issue number 3. In a strange forest late at night, two mythic gods bond with each other and reveal a bit about themselves as the human they both rescued sings classic heavy metal songs. Alas, their reverie is broken when they're attacked by mud witches. Hercules and Thor, true to form, battle each other as much as they do their enemies during this eerie encounter. A truce is called when Nick experiences love at first sight and unlocks his heroic heart. But in hell, is that a bad thing or a good thing? Elsewhere, we are introduced to two new characters, presumably villains, and mention is made of Timmy. A subquest for safe passage leads our heroes directly to a murder factory. There, the Lava Queen gluttonously meets out punishment to the souls of gluttons consigned to hell. She is aided in this endeavor by a swarm of lava minions, including a lava dragon and its lava dragon rider. Can our heroes overcome the sweet smell of bacon and defeat the Lava Queen? We'll find out in the fourth and final issue of the first Gods of Brutality miniseries, which will be available in comic book stores and online on the morrow. In the interim, I invite you to join our Legends of Hercules Gods of Brutality community on Facebook. And now, without further ado, we proceed to Ron Carson's Colosseum with Ron Carson and Andrea Tutrani. Greetings and welcome, O Colosseum keepers. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules.
Good to hear
Hello,
from you. How's everybody
evening,
doing?
Both of you.
It's great to
We're doing fine.
Go ahead.
We're doing fine, except there's one fly in the ointment on tonight's presentation. It is raining here outside the Colosseum, and folks are with their ponchos and umbrellas watching a really cheesy peplum film that we've chosen for review tonight.
There you go. It's starring one of my favorite Hercules, is Alan Steele, a.k.a. Sergio Chiani. So I'm looking forward to hearing your impressions of it.
All right. First of all, how you doing, Sweetums?
I'm doing very well. I'm so sorry for the people who are sitting out there in the rain. Too bad they can't be over here. It's an absolutely beautiful evening, 81 glorious degrees, low humidity, and a cool breeze. So maybe next month we'll have our presentation here in Mexico. How about that?
Well, you know something? That's a trade-off that we'll definitely welcome in more ways than one. So that's pretty good.
That sounds good.
But Hercules and the Black Pirates. It's a peplum film from 1963, early 64. And it was done in Italian, not in English. And it was directed by a gentleman by the name of Luigi Capuano. And like Hercules says, Alan Steele played a dual role as Hercules and Samson. So he's like runner-up to Steve Reeves, cuz, for you?
He has his own, I guess, charm would be the correct word for it. Steve Reeves was the first cinematic Hercules of the peplum era, there was an animated Hercules in the early 1910s, and then Machiste in Cabiria, who was originally supposed to be Hercules. Alan Steele was a happy-go-lucky Hercules, whereas Steve Reeves was a bit more formal and serious.
Yes.
Alan Steele had a devil-may-care attitude, so I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have a very poor connection, so I'm going to hang up and dial you right back, okay? I have a very poor connection.
I'll let you back in.
All right, we'll be here. We'll be waiting for you. All right. So while Andrea is reconnecting over here, I just want to say that this truly was a cheesy movie, because if you remember, I do recall us watching this on Channel 9's Million Dollar Movie at some point when we were growing up. But you actually enjoyed it.
Yes, I enjoy all of the Peplum movies, no matter how cheesy, and especially the ones that are about Hercules. I have a fondness for them. I've written about them. I've created websites about them. I have a podcast, several podcasts about them. So I have a great interest in these movies, as you know, and from our childhood, these are the movies and the entertainments that have most stuck with me. They've most influenced my life. And now that I'm in my 60s, I know that that's how it'll be till I'm no longer here. I'm going to be fascinated with these movies and enjoying them in new ways.
Oh, by the way, I just forgot to say happy birthday to Cousin Athena, who really celebrated on a very momentous occasion on 2-2-22. On 2-2-22.
Yes, her birthday was actually yesterday, but I will convey that to her.
Please do. And today on my show, what I did was I actually went on the air back-selling a song and welcoming everybody to this milestone that's not going to happen for God knows how long. And I went on at 2:22 and 22 seconds. How about that? I timed
that
it out to the penny.
That is awesome.
I timed it up to the letter over here, and thank God for a long ending of a John Cougar Mellencamp song, which kind of helped in making that happen. There we go.
Can you hear me?
She's back.
Yes.
We missed you. Yes, very much.
Yes. Great.
But I was telling Hercules, I went on the air on the magical moment of time, which was 2:22 and 22, and I actually was speaking on the air on WSBS after outroing Hurts So Good by John Cougar Mellencamp. And I talked about the milestone in time, and which is not going to happen for quite some time right now too, if you can believe it.
And do you know that the entire week, the remainder of February is an entire palindrome week. Every day until the 28th is the same thing. So quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very interesting, as Artie Johnson used to say on Laugh-In. Now,
and
my interest in this movie is it's a pirate peplum film. It's not a sword and sandal movie. I mean,
I think my
remembrance of this movie, because while you were redialing, Hercules and I remember watching this on Channel 9 on the Million Dollar Movie back when television was television in our old hometown. And we basically did view this together, and it actually does not take place on land. The movie takes place in the seven seas.
That's right, on the high seas. I know, which was a total shock to me, since I'm the one that kind of picked it, because it sounded great. Mm-hmm. Hercules and the Black Pirate, ooh, that sounds good. So I briefly discussed with you a while ago, Ron, is I was a little shocked. You know, this sort, I am a fan of peplum movies, you know, with the classics of Clash of the Titans and Jason the Argonauts, mm-hmm. you know, all of the earlier Hercules movies, you know, I watched when I was a kid. So when I mm-hmm. watched this movie, I was like, okay, when do we get to see Hercules in his white toga, you know, on the waters of Greece, as I was mm-hmm. expecting? And that never took place, which made me now realize that Hercules is quite versatile, and he'll pop up anywhere in the world, so it seems. I really found it a little, interesting. The movie was acceptable. It was a little cheesy, a little corny, but it was actually not bad. Not bad. It was enjoyable. It was an enjoyable movie.
Well, let me tell you what the poster said as I made a copy of this, because I do want to read the caption. The unrelenting fury of a titan's strength against the armed might of the scourge of the seas.
Wow.
And, you know, our Hercules over here models himself from all these particular genres of film in more ways than one. And of course, his big idol was Steve Reeves. Now, Because I want to know why Alan Steele really has a fondness in your heart. I mean, you kind of consider him like your second favorite Hercules.
Well, he was different. As I said before, Steve Reeves was the first, and he was also into exercise and living well, mm-hmm. and he tried to share this with other people. So, mm-hmm. Of course, I honor Steve Reeves. He started the peplum genre almost single-handedly mm-hmm. by being, I guess, so popular with his movie. Alan Steele had a devil-may-care light attitude when he played Hercules, and I liked that a lot, just like I like Reg Park and Nigel Green and all of the Hercules, really. Nigel Green didn't look like a muscle man. But on attitude alone, he carried it off, very successfully, his portrayal of Hercules and Jason and the Argonauts. And Reg Park starred in two or three Hercules movies, or four, depending on how you count them. I really enjoyed how he played it, too. He played it with supreme confidence and lightness, as if he's so powerful he needn't worry about anything, really. Each of these actors contributed something to the role. Alan Steele happens to be one of my favorites. And as a part of Sword and Sandals cinema trivia, I wanted to have Sergio Chiani or Alan Steele, as he's called, on the show. And I was days away from contacting him. Somebody had made the contact, and I was going to get the contact information. And then the news came that Sergio Chiani died on his birthday. My Facebook group is my way of saying thank you to Sergio Chiani, a.k.a. Alan Steele. I wasn't able to tell him that in life, but by keeping his legacy alive, that's how I'm saying thank you.
So that is his real name, in other words, what you're saying. Sergio Chiani was his real name.
Sergio Chiani, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Which actually makes me want to ask a question. Do you feel that these Italian actors? There are a lot of Italian actors I've seen in these sword and sandal movies that we've come across in the past couple of months. Do you feel that he needed to Americanize his name that much to actually maybe make something in the movie industry? I mean, he went from Sergio Chiani to Alan Steele. That's quite a switch. Do you feel that he?
The industry itself wanted to boast American actors because Steve Reeves was an American actor. So they wanted to make their stars seem as if they came from the United States. They renamed a lot of these people. Like, for instance, Mark Forrest was an American. I don't remember what his birth name, Deglio, I believe it was. But he was an Italian-American, and they still changed his name to Mark Forrest because his Italian name didn't sound American, even though he was an American of Italian descent. So the industry itself gave him these names.
I guess I would have changed my name if I was an actress.
Well, you know something? That was a good question, Angel Cake, in regard to what you... mentioned, and I'm glad Hercules kind of pointed all this specifics out, but I think what really kind of made you mesmerized for this particular picture was the musical score, which was provided by another fellow Italian, Angelo Francesco Lavagnino. So what did you like about the music in regard to this picture?
Well, first of all, I had never heard of this composer before, and I don't know if he was a composer, director of the orchestra, or whatever. But when the movie started, and I heard what I thought was Mexican music, since I hear that all the time. Of course, Mexican music coming from Spain. Of course, we all know that. And I heard this very Spanish music that was very, very well composed and very well performed. And I'm like, wow, what does this have to do with a Hercules movie? So then as the story started and I see that they're now in Spain and then I see how the movie, the music fit the area of where they were where they were filming, you know, where the movie was taking place. And then when the movie switched to another scene where all of a sudden you had the swashbuckling scene, he switched his music to, I don't want to say swashbuckling music, but I don't know of any other name for it. But the music, every scenario perfectly. And he had the Spanish theme, the pirate theme, wherever he, when he was speaking with the pirates, he had a whole different feeling of the music. And I thought that that was probably the best, one of the best scores I've heard in a movie where the composer portrayed the scene, the scenario perfectly. And I, every time he switched back to Spain and I heard the Spanish music, it was fascinating. It was fascinating and very well done. I was actually sitting here talking to myself going like, wow, bravo, good job. So yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed the music and the versatility of his changing from one type of music to another. Very, very well done. So bravo to him.
Now, the million-dollar question that I have to ask my cousin is, does he have a copy of this on video, DVD, or both?
DVD. My videos got destroyed in the flood that we recently had, a lot of them.
Oh, yes, with Hurricane Ida.
Wow.
That's right.
But
that's right.
I forgot about that.
We
have it on DVD, and as Andrea pointed out earlier, Hercules is not just confined to the Peplum era. He's in Atlantis. He's in with the Mongols and other barbarians, and in the Machiste movies, some of which were translated as Hercules movies. He time travels also to different periods of history.
Well, you're talking about Atlantis, and I keep thinking about the 1969 single by Donovan Leitch, the Scotsman. Remember that song, Atlantic's Cuz? I know Andrea does, but
I do. Yep,
do you remember that song, Cuz?
Not offhand, but music is.
If you listen to it, it's the chorus is way down across the ocean, way down across the ocean, blah blah blah.
Now I remember it.
And then he starts off in the beginning as a narrator. You know, he kind of gives you the prelude to Atlantis, and then he ramps it up with the guitar, and then he finally the chorus keeps going at the end, way down across the ocean.
Yeah,
you're really, really bringing back a memory, Ron. Wow, great song.
Well, I'm on the radio. What can I tell you? And it's the music we've all grown to love. And like I said, I'm pining to play this music again at some point in my career. But for now, it's kind of like put on hold for the time being. But I always listen to Sirius. I always listen to my CDs at home. And that's how I take myself back to the golden era where we grew up with this fantastic music that we consider timeless with a capital T. So.
That's right.
And Andrea's dog is going a little berserk here.
Trying to quiet him down.
That's okay. Yeah, my dog expresses her opinion quite often, too. So
doesn't she ever? Yes. I've already told Andrea about your mini pincher, about Nebula.
Yeah, Nebula is very, very vocal, very opinionated.
Well,
I mean, really opinionated.
Four of them. So when one goes off, they all do. And the littlest one is the loudest one, of course. Oh, it's always that way.
Yeah, the smaller they are, the louder they bark for some strange reason. Well, National Pet, you know, Love a Pet Day a few days ago, during the weekend.
Yesterday or Sunday. I did mention
that on my show on Sunday at the end that, you know, you got to show a little TLC to our four-legged friends. So,
absolutely.
And you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Man's best friend. I don't know what I would be without my girls, my four girls. They make my day.
Hercules has a menagerie. He's got the dogs, and he's also got cats, and I love cats, too.
Wonderful.
I have a cat where I live in my domain in Massachusetts. Her name is Patches. Ironically, Hercules had a cat named Patches, too.
Years ago. Many years ago.
And does the cat walk around the house going, I am no cat?
No, you know what she does? She keeps me up for half the night. I couldn't sleep last night. So So she kept meowing and she kept circling around my domain and just was making noise at 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
and I said, Patches, be quiet, please. I need to get some sleep.
they tend to do that. They tend to do that. Oh, wow.
But
so,
Hercules' cat, I also love the fact that Hercules has a cat named Freya.
Oh, Freya.
Wow, beautiful.
Freya passed on recently.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, I'm so, when did this happen, Cuz? I'm sorry.
It happened not too long ago. She
because she was around at Christmas time when I came over to visit.
Yeah, she got paralyzed. She woke up one day paralyzed.
Oh.
It didn't get any better. We took her to the vet and they had to put her to sleep because she wasn't able to move her back legs at all. She got a lot of attention and TLC, and I miss her. Freya was my kitty. She was, she had adopted.
Yeah, you know why Freya was so special to me? Because my dear friend, Brother Joe, from the Mountaintop, who is a jock up at RIP 97.9, who is getting married in April. I'm going to be his cubado, you know?
Yay.
One of his granddaughters' name is Freya. That's why.
Beautiful.
So I told Brother Joe about the fact that Hercules had a cat named Freya, and he says, oh, that's so cool. That's the same name as my granddaughter, he said, you know?
Wonderful. Wow. Well, condolences for Hercules. I know
that. Sincerest condolences, cuz.
Yes. They are family to us. And they could live to be 50, and it's never enough. So I certainly know.
I know.
It's very difficult.
I mean, he's got gorgeous cats. I mean, he had a cat named Samson too, believe it or not, who left us last year. Yeah.
Wow. Wonderful.
But you know something? The four-legged friends rule in more ways than one. And
even though
they have their little foibles and prats and pitfalls, they're still four-legged friends because let me tell you something. I seek comfort in Patches at my domain. You know what I mean? Because she really, really is there for me. And then when I'm watching television, she sits on my lap and watches Hogan's Heroes with me also. So, you know, it's cool.
And, you know, they have that extra, that sixth sense that if someone is feeling down or they're low or they need some consoling, animals know that. And they right away come over and they give you the emotion that you need. It's amazing. People who don't have animals don't understand. But you know,
it's an awesome gift, Sweetums.
Yeah.
It's an awesome gift.
It really is. Yeah.
I
have four, and at one point I had five. I could never live without at least three dogs. I always have to have at least three. You know, but
you ought to see the picture of the Great Dane, cuz she's big.
Oh, I'm sure he's seen her.
on Facebook.
She always posts photos of the doggies on Facebook. So, you know, the Great Dane is huge. It's huge.
Actually, and, there is a male Great Dane on the island, so obviously a different owner, and his name is Perseus.
that's so cool.
Yes.
Perseus.
Yeah, he's beautiful. Perseus is a charcoal gray with black spots, and he's my dog is big,
nice.
But Perseus is huge. He's the males are always bigger. So, he's a very, very beautiful dog, although his owners I don't want to say they don't take care of him as much as I take care of my dogs, because one of the things you need to do with a Great Dane is you must give them a lot of exercise to keep their legs strong. And although he is very well taken care of and undercover, and he definitely has a good home, I don't ever see them out walking him. So I don't think the dog is as healthy as it should be. But they do love him, and that's the most important thing. So, anyway,
absolutely.
Onward.
And you know something? We do love these people here that co-starred with Alan Steele in this movie, which I have to run down over here because we have to go back on topic here to talk about the Colosseum feature. And everybody is of an Italian nature, Andrea, just to let you know.
Oh, yeah.
And Rosita was played by Rosalba Neri. Piero Lulli was Rodrigo Sanchez. Andrea Orelli, hint, hint, Andrea, The Black Corsair. Elisa Maynardi was Carmelita. Nerio Bernardi, the governor of Hermosa, and Neo Pazafini is the Black Corsair's henchman, and Alma was portrayed by Cinzia Bruna. Now, these are all, you know, unknown actors here in the United States, with the exception of the late, great Alan Steele. But there you go. It was basically an all-Italian cast. The film was spoken in Italian with English subtitles.
Yes, yeah. But did you notice now, taking a step back, or did you notice now that the Black Corsair's name was, what you said, Andrea? In reality, his name is Andrea, which is a male name.
Oh, it was a male Andrea. Okay,
yes,
thank you for clarifying. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Like Andrea Bocelli, right,
yep.
The opera singer.
Exactly. And the former husband of Princess Caroline's name was Andrea. And
yes.
The Andrea Doria, the boat that sank, which I was on.
That's right, the one that sank just off Nantucket Harbor back in the 50s. That's right.
That's right, and it's an Italian general. So,
yes,
I don't know how I ended up with the name Andrea, because that's a male name in Italian. But anyway.
I was reading it. I said to myself, I didn't see the phonetics. I thought Andrea Orelli was of the female persuasion. But, boy, that's why I have her along as the co-keeper of the Coliseum, cuz, because she keeps me in check. Not only with my diet, but with all these pronunciations of the actors and this choice of movie that we're choosing over here. But despite the rain over here, people are still enjoying this cheesy picture.
You did very good with your Italian pronunciation. Molto bene.
Thank you.
You're doing very well. Very good.
And
Italy and Greece are practically neighbors.
And in
That's
Greek,
correct.
It's a male name also. Andrea is a male name.
Andreas, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
Andreas, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, here in Mexico, the name Andres, you don't just leave out the extra A. Andres is a man's name.
Yeah.
Andrea is a female name. So it's a very common name. You know, when I was a kid, nobody was called Andrea, and people got my name wrong all the time. They called me Audrey, Adrian, and Andrea is not a difficult name. But when I came here to Mexico, Andrea, I must know about 15 girls named Andrea. Very, very common name.
Wow.
Yeah. So good, Ron.
So in other words, you were
the Black Corsair was a male actor named Andrea.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I understand that you have remnants of Talia Shire when they called you Adrian.
That's right. Well, I was way before Talia Shire, way before Rocky. But
trying to say. Well, you know, I had to throw that in because that's Rocky's significant other in the movie, Adrian,
right.
If you remember.
That's right. That's right.
Who actually is related to director Francis Ford Coppola.
That's correct. I know that, yeah.
They are brother and sister, right. Talia Shire and Francis Ford Coppola. You know that?
Yes. Yes, they are. That's one of the reasons why she got the part, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was an unknown
actress.
And
she was very
time.
Good in the Godfather movie, too, if you remember, too.
Yes. No, that's the one. I'm sorry. That's the one I'm referring to. That's where she got the part, because she was related. And she was an unknown actress at that time, and she wasn't a very promising actress either, but she actually played that part very well. She did very well.
Yeah, and she made a name for herself in the Rocky films. That's all I'm going to say. So
yeah, definitely.
I mean,
so now, okay,
A for
now,
effort.
I have a request. I have a request.
Yes.
Since I'm the one that has been picking some of the movies the past several months. I know Hercules has a new page about mythical creatures, which I absolutely find fascinating. I don't know whether it's I don't know what part of me likes creatures. I don't know. I'm definitely my mother's child. My mother was liked all those weird movies of creatures and things.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, maybe between the two of you gentlemen of definitely of Greek heritage, maybe you could find a movie that has to do with some mythical creature, which I would love to see. So I'll leave that up to you guys to choose for next time.
Well the first one that comes to mind is the Cyclops.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
the one with one eye on the forehead?
If you guys want to do a Cyclops, if you guys want to do a Cyclops movie, that's fine. We've done Gorgons, we've done the Hydra, we've done vampires, we've done werewolves, we're going to be continuing with mythic monsters throughout the year. And we've done crossovers, too. So we've had Legends of Hercules / Mythic Monster crossovers. We've had Swords and Cinema / Mythic Monsters crossovers, retro sci-fi horror theater. So we could definitely do either a crossover or devote an episode. So if you guys want to do Cyclops, research it, and we'll do
Sounds
a Cyclops.
Great.
So there's one for the back burner for next month, Sweetums. We can do a movie about the Cyclops.
Wonderful. I'm going to try to find one that I can see over here because not all are available to me. So now, Ron, as on a funny note, should I share with your cousin, with Hercules, why I have a fascination with Medusa?
Please do. You told me about that when we were in Florida. Yes.
Yeah. So, Hercules, this is actually a funny story. I always had a fascination with Medusa, and I have researched as to why she became the way she did. She's actually... was a very beautiful woman who was not, who was blamed for something that was beyond her control. But the funny thing is this, since I have long curly hair, and when I wake up in the morning, my hair is definitely out of whack. It's not something that is, it looks very attractive. So when I would wake up, my mother would say, "You look like the Medusa." So I really never knew who was the Medusa back then until I finally realized that I should research Medusa. And when I did, I said, "Oh, my God." And I realized that. Now, Ron has seen me early in the morning, so he knows that when I wake up in the morning, I do look like the Medusa because the curls just stand up on my head like snakes. And so that became my fascination with the Medusa and other mythical creatures of the Greek heritage. So that's why I find all of them interesting.
But once you got all tidied up, you got rid of the Medusa look when we ventured our doors to do the cruising out there in Lauderdale. So that was a good thing.
There are plenty of Medusa movies that are modern too. Like we covered the older Medusa Gorgon movies. There are modern ones as well. So I have three or four modern ones. I can send you guys a personal message. And if you want to do a Medusa one later on that covers different Medusa movies, we can do another Gorgon Medusa episode as well.
Yes.
What do you think, Sweetums? Do you think we should tackle this one for Hercules?
I think it's a fabulous idea. I absolutely would love to do that. So, send us a list, and I'll see which one I can get on my TV over here, on my signal here.
Yeah, that's
wonderful.
The only thing.
Yay.
Being she's not in the States anymore, she has a limited viewing on YouTube to watch some of these Peplum films before we go on the air. And
I'm getting a new apparatus tomorrow that might expand my my movie catalog. So let's see what happens.
Quick question for both of you. Have you
wrapping up on Hercules and the Black Pirates? Let me see if I can grab the Medusa movies. They're a few steps away, so you guys wrap up the movies and I'll do that.
Absolutely.
Okay,
quick question between, because I know we're gonna have to wrap up real soon because Hercules has to go to his next chapter over here in his adventures on Tuesday night,
right?
But did you both view your copy of History of the World Part 1, since I gave it to you for Christmas?
I have not seen mine yet. I'm waiting for a night when I have my full time to devote to it so I can watch it without stopping it. So I have not yet. But I hopefully within maybe this weekend. I have Saturday night and Sunday off. So maybe that's
how about you, cuz? Did you get a chance to revisit?
No, I'm working on a book for a publisher. I've been wrapped up in that. I haven't really been watching much of anything at all. It's just exercise, work on the book, and work on the podcast. I haven't really had a chance to do any recreation. I found the movies. One of them is called Medusa, Beauty is the Beast. Another one is George Hamilton in Medusa.
Oh, George wow. Hamilton, Mr. Yes. Tan himself?
Yes.
Wow.
A Mediterranean Mystery, George Hamilton, Luciana Pallucci, Cameron Mitchell wow. in Medusa, a Gordon Hessler film.
Oh, wow.
Cameron Mitchell was a very good character actor in his days.
Then there's The Night
if you remember.
Medusa, a Joshua Kennedy Grindhouse double feature film, The Night of Medusa.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds
all
wonderful.
All right, so now, Sweetums, you have to take a look and see if these titles are available for you to watch, and then we'll
That's right. Yeah.
try to narrow it down for the next month's viewing.
Yeah, Hercules, if you could just message me that, private message me those the titles, and I'll research and see which one I could watch. All right, please.
I will do that tonight.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
So that
all
wraps
right.
up, I guess, our little get-together at a rainy Coliseum, and we're about to put the curtain down. As everybody, even though the Hercules movie was a little bit of the cheesy sort, a pirate peplum classic, they did enjoy
great
it.
Music.
And,
great music.
Yes, great music, according to, you know, of course she's going to analyze the musical portion of the film because
of
she
course.
Is a musician herself, guys, so that's the whole thing. So
great.
wonderful. All right, good. This has been fun. A fun movie to review. It was enjoyable.
You make it fun by being my partner in arms here at the Coliseum. Ever since I recruited you, we've had a much
Thank
bigger
you.
And better audience, and
Thank
the
you.
Fact that you're welcome, and the fact that you're two cents always come in very, very handy. And in this one, I'm glad we were able to involve Cousin Hercules in the mix as well, because we
yeah.
do all the blabbing and he just does all the listening normally. But in this instance, it was a three-way conversation and I loved it.
I did too. I thought it was fabulous. I loved it because I learned a lot listening to both of you. Because the Italian portion I know, the Greek portion I don't, so I'm learning. Wonderful.
Because one of these days we have to schlep her along to Limnos to encounter life in the old country. What do you think?
Yeah, that's one of the things on my bucket list, to go back to Limnos and to experience that at least
Wonderful.
One more time. Again.
Yeah, I would love to
Our
do that.
Our native island is beautiful. Yes, we would love
I'm
to have you
sure.
aboard.
I'm there. I'm packed. You know me.
And not only will you have me and Hercules and Athena to talk English with, my cousin Dina owns a hotel near the beach called Fanaraki, just outside the village, and she speaks fluent
Wonderful.
English. And my
Wonderful.
Cousin, our cousin Mary, speaks fluent English because she came over here to study in college as well. And she turned our grandparents' old house into a little mini cafe where you can get coffee and dessert and pastries. It's called the Pezula.
Well, you know me with foreign languages. I'd rather learn your language rather than speak English. So I would really like that. The more languages I can learn.
So she
the better.
Better wear some good sneakers when we take her to Poliokhni.
Okay. Sounds good.
More details to follow.
So
yes.
Before we wrap up, what is your contact
yes.
information? How can people contact you, Ron?
Ladies first, please. Let the
okay.
angel cake go first.
Andrea,
thank
how
you very
can
much.
Contact you?
You're welcome.
I can be found. The only social media that I really use is Facebook. I can be found mm-hmm. on my profile at Andrea Tutrani. There are other Tutranis, which are my beautiful nieces. So just bypass those beautiful girls and go right to me. And that's send me a message or friend me. We'll be
well, you know something.
New friends and chat.
I had the pleasure of wining and dining with those lovely nieces when we were in Philadelphia back in November.
And they are.
Just to let
lovely.
You know. And it was
well,
a very
you.
Wonderful first night dinner when we were out there at that nice little place that we went just off the heart of town over there before
that's
we,
right.
we actually went.
We almost made you eat vegan. We did, and you did.
I almost became a
definitely.
Vegan that night, yes, just
that's
for
right.
one night.
That's correct. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm doing well with my diet right now. I'm keeping
you
myself.
Are.
You know what I'm snacking on, Sweetums? Rice cakes right now.
Good.
Rice cakes
very
are
good.
Very, very healthy. you know?
Yes, they are. Yes,
so that is my snack at work. I've been snacking on rice cakes if I get hungry at the station. And as a matter of fact, let me let people know how they can reach my show. You can tune in to 860 AM, 94.1 FM if you're anywhere in western Massachusetts, northwestern Connecticut, or eastern New York. Outside the area, you can download our free WSBS app where you can take us along, and we are portable. As a matter of fact, Andrea has the app, and I did send out a Hall & Oates song to you before I did my 222 break today.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Looking forward to it. Excellent.
So I have to email you both of those files just to let you know.
Yes, please, please. Good. Looking forward to it.
And absolutely. And then later on, we have on your usual laptop or desktop, you can listen online at WSBS.com. And while you're there, go to the Listen Now, Listen tab, actually, and then you can go to WSBS on Alexa or WSBS on Google Home, and you can install your smart speaker device, instant step-by-step instructions. I take air at 10 o'clock, go right up until 3 weekdays. I'm on Saturday mornings, and I also do a Sunday afternoon show. I'm pretty much there every day. But you know something? It's my life, and as Ron Lundy says, my old friend and mentor, and loving it.
Wonderful. And you're fabulous at it, and we love listening to you.
Thank you.
So thank you for all you do, for our enjoyment.
And I am on Facebook also. You could plug me in as Ron Carson on the toolbar. I'd love to have you as a friend, and you could follow my adventures, and believe me, they're, you know, to the max in more ways than one. Okay, I bid you both good night. Love you, sweetums.
Good night, everyone. Be safe and stay well and stay warm, and we'll chat in a month. Looking forward to it. Good night.
Thank you very much. Take care. Joyous journey.
Okay, love you too. Love you too, Xadelfair.
Love you both. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, all right,
Kalinichta.
Kalinichta. And now we're going to take a brief musical break. We're going to listen to Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley.
Golden Bough. earth and children afar. Hearing now her true heart's own desire. Gain the road you must break in the briar. Sang to her the unearthly choir. Lady of moonlight, lady of day, I am lost, oh lost, on my way. What path do my feet tread now? To the shade of the golden bough.
Greetings and welcome back to our Sword and Sandal Cinema Special. For the last segment, we will return to Legends of Hercules, and as tomorrow is the last issue of Gods of Brutality, I will share with you my impressions of the first three. Number one, hark and take heed. The saga begins with a fantastic tale shared with a bored and mostly unsympathetic scribe. A tale of two gods, Hercules of Olympus and Thor of Asgard, the gods of brutality, best of frenemies, sent to rescue a third and quite suspect god, a fallen god, a heavy metal god, from the pits of hell so that he can sing some promised praises to their heavenly father Zeus and Odin. Their rescue of Nick Dillon from an infernal cafeteria, whereas regenerating body parts are menu items, launches a saga that continues for three more issues. I've been following Gods of Brutality since the cover caught my eye while exploring new releases in my favorite comic book shop, and I've since become a fan of the series, and not just because it spins a new yarn about Hercules. In a word, Gods of Brutality is, well, brutal. It does not strive to be politically correct, nor does it avoid creative but colorful language or disturbing imagery. Gods of Brutality lives up to its title, assaulting your senses and sensibilities while drawing you into an entertaining adventure that pulls no punches. It is both a homage and a parody of traditional mythic themes in comic books, mixed in with large doses of heavy metal. Issue number one even offers its own playlist of songs that inspired the creators, Rich Woodall and Mark Walzer. Playing them while you read or reread the comics adds a whole new dimension to your Gods of Brutality experience. It also has a fun zone page for the inner child in us all, though this is not in any way a book for kids. I enjoyed this comic a great deal and have been reserving subsequent releases so that I don't miss an issue. I recently interviewed Rich Woodall with John Carl Pepe and formed the Gods of Brutality fan group on Facebook. And soon after, I interviewed Mark Welzer, and we even fielded questions from a super fan of the series. Onwards, another song and another review. This time, If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.
Greetings and welcome back to Legends of Hercules. I'm Hercules Invictus. Now listen and take heed, my friends, for the adventures of Hercules, Thor, and Nick are far from over. Gods of Brutality number 2 begins with our heroes in strategic retreat. We soon discover that the underworld has its very own underworld, run by brutal mobsters who are also hideous were-ants. Hercules and Thor continue to combat each other, as well as the chitinous myrmidons of hell. Nick finally taps into and unleashes his own brutality, activating his warrior soul. But alas, he has not yet found his heroic heart. Would you know more? Good. Then I suggest you seek out Gods of Brutality number 2 online or in your local comic book shop. And now for another song, Row in Your Boat by Virginia Ackley.
Rowing my boat, oh, rowing my boat, rowing my boat, we are catching some stardust. Rowing my boat, oh, rowing my boat, guess we're gonna need a bigger boat. Moody was a baby with stars in his hair, and he listened to the music when his mama wasn't there. Mooney used to talk to the fishes in the stream, and he danced with the fairies in a moonlight dream. Singing, rowing my boat, oh, rowing my boat, rowing my boat, we are catching some stardust. Rowing my boat, oh, rowing my boat, guess we're gonna need a bigger boat. walked alone through the village square, and the other boys laughed about the color of his hair. Mooney used to smile as he passed them by, 'cause he'd rather be dancing with the stars in the sky. Singing, rowing my boat, oh, rowing my boat, rowing my boat, we're catching some stardust. Rowing my boat, oh, rowing my boat, guess we're gonna need a bigger boat. Play with the deer in the glen, and he'd ask for eggs from the old red hen. Mooney heard the stories that the sycamore told, all the wonders of the world were his to hold. Rowing my boat, oh, rowing my boat, rowing my boat, we are catching some stardust. Rowing my boat, oh, rowing my boat, guess we're gonna need a bigger boat. Had a boat made of rowan wood, and he'd sail her to the sky every night he could. Mooney gathered stardust in a golden jar to sweeten all the dreams from near and far. Singing, rowin' my boat, oh, rowin' my boat, rowin' my boat, we are catching some stardust. Rowin' my boat, oh, rowin' my boat, guess we're gonna need a bigger boat. Gonna need a bigger boat. Guess we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Greetings and welcome back to Legends of Hercules. I am Hercules, and onwards with another impression. In a strange forest late at night, two mythic gods bond with each other and reveal a bit about themselves as the human they both rescued sings classic heavy metal songs. Alas, the reverie is broken when they're attacked by mud witches. Hercules and Thor, true to form, battle each other as much as they do their enemies during this eerie encounter. A truce is called when Nick experiences love at first sight and unlocks his heroic heart, but in hell, is that a bad thing or a good thing? Elsewhere, we're introduced to two new characters, presumably villains, and mention is made of Timmy. A subquest for safe passage leads our heroes directly to a murder factory. There, the Lava Queen gluttonously meets out punishment to the souls of gluttons consigned to hell. She's aided in this endeavor by her swarm of lava minions, including a lava dragon and its lava dragon rider. Can our heroes overcome the sweet smell of bacon and defeat the Lava Queen? We'll find out in the fourth and final issue of the first Gods of Brutality miniseries, which will be available online and in your favorite comic book shop on the morrow. In the interim, I invite you to join our Legends of Hercules Gods of Brutality community on Facebook. And that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And in the short time we have remaining, we're going to close with Mighty Elohim by Linnell Griffin.